Morning, Rabbi Sly. As we said last week, the Sfaradim add four psukim to the beginning of Parsha Shkolim, or the Haftarah of Shkolim that we say, and they start off with Yechrosi HaYodo, and it gives a historical background to the actual Parsha, the Haftarah that we actually, that we also line, which starts off Ben Shevashonim Yehoyash B'molchoi. So we were explaining the historical background to the Haftarah, and we said as follows, that Achav, the king of Israel, married Izebel, and the apostle describes her as a mirsha'as, a person who was herself, that's the female version of the Rosha, and she was an Ovedes Havedes Zorah, she was a non-Jew, she came from Tzur, and they had a girl, they had a daughter called Ataliah. Ataliah, they made an alliance between the kingdom of Yehuda and the kingdom of Israel, and Ataliah married the king Yehoram, Melech Yehuda. Yehoram was also a Rosha, and Ataliah was also a Mirsha'as. So they were a lovely couple, and after a number of years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Yehoram with a stomach disease of some sort, according to the Pasuk.
I was with the doctor.
Yeah, anyway, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Yehoram. I think he reigned for 8 years altogether. And now Ataliah is left with her sons and her daughter Yehosheva. Her daughter Yehosheva was married to Yehoyada, who was the Kohen. It says everywhere in the Pasuk, it repeats many times, Yehoyada HaKohen. It doesn't say Kohen Gadol, so I'm not sure if he was or wasn't the Kohen Gadol, but he was obviously a Choshev HaKohen. That's the daughter, Yehosheva, who was married to Yehoyada HaKohen. They had a number of sons who were Rishoim. The Pasuk says that the sons were the ones who vandalized the Beis HaMikdosh, because they didn't convert the Beis HaMikdosh into a temple of Baal. They built a separate temple of Baal in order to lead the worship of the idol. And the Beis HaMikdosh, the Pasuk says in Divrei HaYomim that the sons of Ataliah and Yehoram portsu Beis Elokim. They vandalized, they destroyed, they knocked down, they demolished part of all of Beis Elokim.
Who are we talking about?
Pardon? We're talking now about Ataliah, who married Yehoram Melech Yehuda. Ataliah was the daughter of Achav and Izebel. So Achav and Izebel, king of Israel, formed an alliance, and his daughter married the king of Yehuda.
Do we have a date?
Pardon? 2,320 years ago. I don't know. I can give you the dates. I'll give you the dates. But we're talking about the middle of the period of the Bais Rishon.
Yeah.
Okay? Achav, I think, was the eighth king in the Bais Rishon.
Yeah.
Yehoram was
700 BC.
I don't want to say. I don't know. And Yehoram, I think, was the fifth king in the Melech Yehuda. So Ataliah is married to Yehoram. She's a Rishanta, he's a Rosha. They are spreading Baal, they're spreading over Avodah Zarah, and their children have destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh. Okay? Now, Yehoram was killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But he's in northern Israel, he's nothing to do with where the Beis HaMikdosh was in Israel.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you come late, yeah? So, Achav, the king of Israel, married to Izebel, Jezebel, right, who was his wife, not the queen.
Yeah. 9th century.
Pardon?
Late
9th century.
Century BCE.
Okay.
Late
9th century.
Right.
Okay, well done. So Achav and Izebel had a daughter Ataliah, and they decided to form an alliance with the Malchus Yehuda, the southern kingdom. And the way they formed an alliance was that they married their daughter Ataliah, the lovely girl Ataliah. Right, the Pasuk describes her as a Mirsha'as. She married Yehoram Melech Yehuda, who was no less a Rosha, and between them they were the proponents of the Avodah of Baal and the Avodah of Ovede Avodah Zorah. So now we've got Avodah Zorah throughout Israel and throughout Yehuda.
They never unite the kingdoms, though, did they?
They didn't unite the kingdoms, but they formed an alliance, as happened many times in history, when you marry the princess, marries the king from the other kingdom. Okay? And then they had children. They had a daughter, Yehosheva, who was a good girl, and she married Yehoyada the Kohen. They had a number of sons who destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh, Potsu Beis HaLikim, and they had another son called Achaziah, who became the king when Yehoram, his father, died. He was the next in line.
King of what?
The king of Yehuda. Yehoram, the father who was married to Ataliah, died.
Yeah.
Okay, and Ahaziah was the next in line. So he became the king
of Judah.
Yeah. And he only survived a year and will carry on tomorrow, Bliada.
Start Thursday, way northwest London.
I'll do a chart.
Sunday, Kaf Aleph Shabbat, 8th of February. Rabbi Simchi Yakubovich leads up the clubhouse. Purim, part one. Torah and sponsored by family Wiesenfeld and Nishmas, Rabbi Yitzchok ben Rabbi Yaakov Wiesenfeld, Zichron Lebrocha, Yad Sar is on Kaf Zayin Shabbat, and Moritz Chavod of Arabas, Rabbi Simchi Yisrael Dick, Aliyah Asholem, Yad Sar is on Kaf Hei Shabbat, and the Chavod, the birth of a son to family Josh Weiler, and Leila Nishmas, Rabbi Yosef Dov ben Rabbi Shimon Lechotz for Itzkovitz, our esteemed founder, Zichron Lebrocha.
I think you're going to like that every part of the drosha that I've got for you today, we've spoken to Rav Frankel, is being printed. There's not one word that I'm adding in or into this. I decided to keep it written so you can have a physical copy as well. All the Marmal comments will be available as well on a digital version and a printable version, so you'll have it. I think it's quite surprising when we look at Purim. And you speak to a lot of adults. And when you speak to a lot of them, it's amazing how certain ideas stick. And it's something we should really look at and ask, how is that? We have this concept of homon, concepts of villains, concepts of tzaddikim. We're going to go into it. So I'm deeply honored to have been welcomed back to our yearly Purim Shmooz. That's how I see it. The title of this year's part one is, Why Was Mordechai So Tough? Mordechai Tzadik seems to be pretty tough with Esther in the Purim story. There's a history where we see tzaddikim respond in certain ways which needs to be understood. These tzaddikim were the most sensitive and caring people you could imagine. The people is the wrong word, malachim. So to respond the way they did, like Yaakov and Rachel, it needs to be looked at. Believe it or not, I was actually preparing myself to speak to a couple of young men in their 20s who are terrified of life. My job at the clubhouse, and we're talking about four or five chevra who were supposed to come to a meeting that day. Life is quite big, responsibility is too big, the world feels too noisy, decisions feel too permanent, it's too much. And you meet people who are basically saying, please don't ask anything of me because I don't trust myself to carry anything. And then I was asked to prepare something for today, this morning. And it occurred to me just how powerful Purim really is. It was quite relevant to what I was dealing with. There's a lot that I could unpack. Purim is a bottomless well of incredible things to bring up. It never ends. Bechira, Ashkocha, Esther, Amalek, Tefillah, Achdus. Who we are as a nation, as Am Yisrael, and individuals. But what I'm going to say today hopefully isn't going to shock too many people. Because as the Ramchal explains it, he's not teaching us something we never knew, just something we may have forgotten. Not because we denied it, not because we reject the truth, but we can unwittingly disregard the facts we need to focus on, but didn't. And I think Purim is the answer that comes and says, you didn't lose the truth, you just stopped living with it. You know, we all know Purim is a time when Am Yisrael accepted the Torah Ba'ahava. To be able to really accept the Torah, you need a Ba'ahava. To be able to swim in it, to live it, you need a Ahava in the Torah that you take on. And Purim brings it back to us in so many deep ways. The most chutzpahdik advice in the Torah is what I would go with. We recently just had Parshas Yisro. I want to start with something that looks totally unrelated, but it's the same episode. In Parshas Yisro, we've got one of the most unbelievable scenes in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, is sitting from morning till night judging Am Yisro. Every shayla, every argument, everybody says, my donkey, you know, I lent it out, it's come back emotionally unavailable. Anything you could imagine is being thrown at Moshe Rabbeinu. And then in comes Yisro. Now, no offense, Yisro is a Koy Midian. It's not exactly a Kavod, he came to me. He's a Koy Midian. But he comes and he gives Moshe Rabbeinu his derech of how he would approach Am Yisro. It's like Rav Shiva Ponovich is running the whole yeshiva. And, you know, he's got a CEO, father-in-law from Tesco, comes along and says, you know, I'm a senior supervisor, CEO from Tesco. You know, I used to manage aisle 7, I've got a system, put managers here, supervisors there. If someone's asking a shiva, send them to the customer service. And the Torah writes it down, not a joke, not as a side comment. A serious section of the Torah is given to Yisroel. You know, this is advice. He's giving him what, you know, you look at the way you're advising Moshe Rabbeinu, what it is. Common sense. The question screams, why? Why? Why did the Torah want this and not what? The Rechaim is what the focus should be, because the Rechaim says something very powerful. The Chaim says the point is not whether Yisroel stayed for Matan Torah left before, because there's a debate. That's not the question. Regardless, the Torah chose to put the story of Yisroel before Matan Torah. Regardless if he stayed or if he didn't stay. Hashem did not choose Am Yisroel, the Chaim says, because we're the wisest. Hashem chose us because, not because we're the strongest, but because the schus of us. The Chaim says black and white. There is wisdom, there are righteous non-Jews. The Chaim says it black and white. He said, Hashem wanted to show you the advice you're getting. I didn't need you for that wisdom. That you can get from someone who wants to join. You, Am Yisrael, I chose you. Because always I've run Yisrael and Yaakov. I've put that before. Often you think, oh, look who I am. Remember, you're standing on Zchus Ovis. You've got so much there that makes you unique because of that Zchus Ovis. So therefore, I'm going to give you, I'm sure your wisdom can come from outside. You have Zchus Ovis. Yisrael, he's got his Zchusim, he's walking, he's building himself, but you yourself, you're not the wisest or the strongest. You were chosen because you have an opportunity to grasp greatness that you were given because of who you always are. Who Avraham, Yisrael, and Yaakov are. What makes Yisrael Yitaka unique? Yisrael, one after the other, we got from the Mechilta and B'Shalach, countless sources. Rashi brings it in. Yisrael, he hears about Amalek, and he reacts to what he hears about Amalek. Is something so powerful about Amalek? The answer is, Amalek hears the goddess of Am Yisrael, he shrugs it off. Yisrael hears it, changes his life, he takes the moment and he chaps it. Rabbi Elopion clarifies something powerful. He says, sometimes you learn Torah values more clearly by watching people who have none. Amalek wasn't threatened, nobody was coming after them, they weren't defending themselves. They gained nothing from this attack. They simply wanted to wipe out Kedusha. Yisrael sees this and he understands it. He says, if this exists in this world, then the world is not neutral. There's a war against Am Yisrael. Well, I need to see what there is in Am Yisrael. There's such a godless in Am Yisrael, I need to chap it. Again, one after the other. Ramchal says it again, that we look at Torah and our assumption is, if I just take Torah and I just grow in Torah, I'll be safe. And the Ramchal says it doesn't work like that. You have to be aware of opportunities and challenges along the way. And the Ramchal, he uses a philosopher as an example. He's on the way, and then the Yonavi comes as an ugly old looking man. And the philosopher is far from complimentary to him. And he says, look at the way you look. This guy ugly. And he gets Mosinoch. He says, how can you say that to me? The Yonavi dressed as an old man says, go back to the one who made me. Go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Go ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu why he made me this way. And he's so embarrassed, doesn't want to respond to him. But then he chaps. The Ramchal warns that person, this is based on Torah. Avoid that someone who's on such a madrega can fall in that level because the guy that still sticks. He chaps himself quickly after. But even with Torah, one has to constantly be on the path, ready to defend that he shouldn't slip. It is so easy to slip and miss a moment. And miss that moment where you should have been on guard, on defense. There's no such thing as ever being no guarantee. Prokovis, there's no guarantee. So when you give an opportunity to do a mitzvah or to avoid an avera, you take that opportunity, you grab it. So I'm going to come in with this idea of grabbing an opportunity. And then we're going to come all the way around back to Mordechai HaTzadik. Why is Mordechai HaTzadik so tough when he speaks to Esther? We know Shaul's mistake. And we know that the Gemara makes it very clear that Esther and Mordechai, descendant of Shaul HaMelech, they had a job to do, to fix Shaul HaMelech's mistake. It says in Shmuel Aleph, Yikotin ato ve'inecho. After Shaul HaMelech had allowed Agog to live, and he hadn't taken full action, Shmuel Navi says to him, Yikotin ato ve'inecho, because you are small in your eyes. Even though you were small in your eyes, he says, you were made the leader of all the Shvatim. You were made king. Why didn't you step up? Meaning, Shaul's core problem wasn't that he had a soft heart. It was the mistake, who am I? I'm not that important. The soft heart gives way, can't kill. But how? I'm nothing. And the words that Shmuel is saying to him, he kotrin atar v'inecha. And here's the danger. When a person thinks they're not big enough to make a difference, they start doing partial obedience. You know, it's like saying to Hashem, I'm 80% firm today, the other 20% is still buffering. You don't work in that sense with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't. But what is it? You are given a koyach, don't machnia yourself. We know the story, we're not going to go into it now. Tana comes to him, but comes to him, he didn't react when it came to the carbon, and he said, you know, we don't have to kill him, it's fine. And a whole ganze that happens there. Eh? Ramchal talks about this in the Gemara. You can find it in the Gemara, talks about it in the Gittin. Again, he didn't react, because he didn't think he would. Again, he was small in his eyes. Being small is not the answer. Yes. You can be honored, Moshe Rabbeinu, honored me, Kaladim. You can't get somebody in the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu. But he always took action. Shmuel spares Agog. He doesn't feel, who am I? Shmuel Novi has to come and fix that problem at that time. But because of that one night, out comes Haman. Again, all because he was so small in his own eyes. And again, Amalek, Rashi underlines, Amalek Avantai Muhammad, the whole story of Purim, Parsha Zohar, isn't the fact of people. It has been imprinted into us what Amalek did. He showed us who cares. Nobody cares. That's the attitude. I've seen your Nisim, I don't care. Into the boiling bathtub, he goes, I don't care. That's Amalek's attitude. And it's imprinted onto a nation that would go on to see so many Nisim every single day. And it was, who cares? And for generations, we are suffering from Amalek till today's generation. Who cares? Well, who cares? I Akaras, who cares? The antidote to that is Taka Akaras HaTov, but that's for another time. Now keep this in mind. Why is Mordechai so tough? I want to ask a question, it seems obvious. Mordechai hears is a gazer on the whole of Am Yisrael. Well, there was a dream, he was told, he hears. He tells Esther, go into the king. Esther says, I can't just walk in. There's a law, I could be killed. Mordechai answers, not with sympathy, not with Esther, you know, take care of yourself. It was my idea, the gossip. You know, Mordechai thought it was, you know, he told Esther, no. He says to her, like a mashkiach talks to a bocha at 1 a.m. If you keep quiet now, relief will come from somewhere else. You and your father's house will be lost. I hope the Mashkiach speaks to Bocha 1 a.m. with that. But then he's taking him apart. Why is he so harsh? She's the one risking her life. She's the one trapped in the palace. She's the one who... Why does Mordechai talk like that? Mordechai isn't giving Esther pressure. He's giving her the clarity based on what we're mentioning according to Chazal. Do not repeat the mistake of Shaul HaMelech. Shaul's entire ticking can become sweetened if we fix it now. Mordechai is telling Esther, don't do kotoim beinecho, don't make yourself small right now, Esther. This is your biggest mistake. If you think I am small, then you've lost. Hashem will get somebody else to do it. You can't wipe it out yourself. Hashem has given you an opportunity. Now grab it. This is the nekuda. Esther and Mordechai weren't some random heroes. And this is the point. The Gemara Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says Esther's name is Hadassah. The Gemara goes on about her name. We have sources enough about her name. The goddess of her, it was Mordechai that changed the name to be Esther. Purim of the Yom Tov, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name isn't written anywhere. Because he's running everything. He is everywhere. He's not anywhere because he's everywhere. Because every single part that you're not seeing Hashem, he's everywhere taking care of that story. But Esther, she knows this, she's a Nevi'ah. Still, she's got Ruach, still it's not enough. Mordechai has to come and remind, why are you making yourself small in your own eyes? You take a look and compare, the Gemara brings Hasoch. Nothing in the Gemara is just there. Even when the Gemara goes, well, you think into another topic, it's all come back to me again. You can do a whole share on that Masechta, just every omit. There's nothing that ties that now. I can say, but then I've done the Megillah over 2 years, over 10 times. And I can tell you there is nothing there. Nothing that just goes to the side. So he's married, even the Indian of Tefillah, how Tefillah is broken down, the Gavus of Tefillah. And we know what Purim is. Purim is a game of Tefillah. Every Shaf army is open. Purim is the most powerful day when it comes to Tefillah. Chazal speak about a problem, it's not known, and yet in the Masechta Megillah talks about a shul, how it is when it comes to laning, the construction of what it is to have a shul in Esher, why a shul in Esher the way it is. But I had a Talmud once, he said to me, So I look at Gemara, something seems to be a bit random. There's no such thing. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kufi Tesla, base. The top, when they go all the way down, right there, smack, go down a few lines. You got Kaddish. If you answer Amen Yishmirabba, if you do it properly, you get rid of 70 years of bad gezeiros, a whole thing. And the same Gemara talks about how the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash happens. Shema isn't done correctly. A whole line. Oh, there's no such thing in Masechta and Amid isn't there. But look at Daniel. Daniel himself comes up in the sugya. The Gemara says again, Daniel, Hasoch to Daniel. They cut him down from his greatness. Is one reason they called him Hasoch. Another reason, decisions were made through him. Both ideas work. Gemara says, Daniel isn't just any random messenger. Esther couldn't work with anybody but Daniel. He was one of the Gedolei Hador. He was there for Nebuchadnezzar in his breakdown, whether he became a hybrid animal, he just lost his mind. He was there when Belshazzar had the writing on the wall. He was there for all the parties between Paras and Mordechai. He was there. Why is Daniel running errands between Mordechai and Esther? Like he's delivering. Oh, what's this going on? Daniel went from interpreting dreams for kings. He understood my job now is to talk with Esther. Hasach, Daniel, I'll go do my job. My tafkid right now. This is my tafkid. I will fulfill it. We know from Tosfos. Tosfos himself brings down that Daniel is the one who advises Ahasuerus to change the language. To enforce that language spoken at home should be that of a husband. Again, why did he do it? Tosfos Tzarchin, but his wife was of noble nobility. She was much greater in status as to him. And he wanted there to be some more egos. He wanted to put that law in, which again, understanding that Tosfos is very difficult because you know about Daniel, not someone who's petty. So why would he care if his wife has got more chashivas than him? Why would the language have to matter? Not the point. But we find that Daniel takes an active role the whole way through for Am Yisrael, understanding on a level that we can't. The Gemara talks about Daniel not being a Navi. In the classical sense, he was not a Navi. And again, Daniel, regardless of that, we can go into Daniel, he chaps a moment. He takes it. He doesn't just, my job I've dropped. He immediately chaps the kasher with Esther. He conveys the message back to her. And again, the Gemara says he didn't want to go back with the message because you don't be a bearer of bad news. Why was Daniel not as important as he was? The background is Vashti. Vashti, we all know that they're called big pumpkins and small pumpkins. He was as big pumpkins as what the Gemara refers to Ahasuerus. She was a small pumpkin. She made a party for the ladies not far from the party. Again, the whole way of Ahasuerus is bluff. You would imagine that some kind of mechitza going on. We know that Mordechai and Haman were mashkichim here at the party. Ish is used, and the Gemara teaches us that one was Mordechai Tzadik. Mordechai Tzadik was running around making sure that everything was kosher by Yosha. Haman with the tfaket, he was trying to convince Am Yisrael to sin, do averus. Right next door, there's a very, very good book by Rabbi Landi. You should really get it. It's a poem uncovered. He does a fantastic job. Rabbi Landi, the Tzal Tzadik, was taken away from us too soon, a few years ago, but he wrote three sfarim. Very, very good sfarim. One of them is the first, I think, he launched out into the English public, was Purim Uncovered. And it's amazing when you actually see the archaeology and the way it's structured, where she would make the party. He points out very, very clearly. And you can see how she would entice people with what she was doing. This is Vashti. She wasn't doing the same level you would think. Ahasuerus, she was worse. She knew how to entice. We'll get to that in a second. You read Chazal, Ahasuerus and Vashti were not supporting cast members in the story of Purim. Chazal being the picture of a palace culture designed to break the identity of Yiddishkeit. Forget Shabbos, what she did to girls, forcing them to walk on Shabbos. She was on multiple levels a Roshanta, and Chazal says, remove Esther from being the most beautiful woman and place Vashti as one of the most beautiful women in the world. And she knew it. She used everything she had, the Gashmi, to destroy the Ruchni. Not only kill the Jews, they were straightforward evil. Come blend in would have been their attitude, Chazal. Drink, lose your boundaries, and lose your Kedusha, lose yourself. Sounds a bit like Yevonim. In many aspects, this was the Persian culture. Gashmi is on a very high level. The Greeks took it further. Haman is not them. We'll discuss it as well. Haman is the guy who says, I hate Jews. Ahasuerus is the politician who says, no, I love Jews. Come to my party so you can then choose to have a horrible death. Because I secretly hate you more. He's a dictator and a politician in how he works. He doesn't want to get in trouble. The question is why are we always banged by Haman? And this is again Halacha Rambam, Hilchos Megillah, Minhag Yisrael. We don't bang for Ahasuerus, we don't bang for Vashti, we bang for Haman. Because Haman is not just political hatred. Haman is a Amalek. His war is against Am Yisrael, the Kedusha you represent when you left Mitzrayim. This Amalek cannot allow to go into the world. Amalek is the voice that says nothing is Kedush, nothing is Bechira, nothing is meaningful. It's all coincidence. This is Amalek. It's why we bang by Amalek. The problem is the Yom Tov answers, it's never coincidence, it's the opposite of Amalek. Ahasuerus is anti-Semitism with a crown, Haman is anti-Semitism with a philosophy. One comes with the fact that I want to destroy him, so one comes with the philosophy of what you represent, I need to get rid of. This is why Haman has to be banged out. The Amalek inside of us has to be removed. When it comes to Ahasuerus, he's the most violent anti-Semite. The Gemara says it, Rashi says, Rashi, with Chalosi Vatsefa, it's fact, he's terrible. But Haman, Haman's an evil that comes to destroy you philosophically. Why did Haman want to kill Mordechai? He wouldn't bat in the Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara talks about it. They blamed him. They blamed Mordechai. First he wanted to destroy Mordechai, then he wanted to destroy the Rabbonim, then he wanted to destroy Am Yisrael because he saw what they represented. The Nazis were pretty much of the same idea. When they came in to destroy Am Yisrael, they went for the leadership. They went for the Rabbonim. They went, you have to get rid of what is at the heart. Get rid of the idea of what Haman represents is right there. Ahasuerus, he's a vile anti-Semite. He's still not a Amaleki. He can hate you because he's a vile anti-Semite. Haman hates what you represent. And the Ganef versus the Gazan is exactly what they are. The Ganef is Haman and is the Gazan is Haman. The Ganef is Ahasuerus. He's scared Hashem is watching. He'll do it quietly. The Gazan, Haman, is battle. He doesn't care. He'll come at you. And this is Ahasuerus, he's the guy who says, I'm not kidding, I only sign paperwork. The complete difference is over there. Haman hates you, because you are Kodesh, you are special. Now we come back, Mordechai says to Esther, maybe we got to this place for the moment. And here you got a marshal, we're not going to get too far, lost time, aware of the time. He says two things at once, Bitochen and Amisol will not disappear, but you might. If you continue down the path where you see yourself, as we mentioned, that you become Kotlin in your own eyes, like your forefather Sholem Melech, you're done. Am Yisrael survive, you do not. It's like when you tell a guy, and that's the deepest line, he gives you the gift of being the person who the Yeshua can come from. You can be a salvation to Am Yisrael. It's like when you tell a guy, you don't have to help with a shul dinner, but just know the shul will survive, your reputation might not. It really is. It sounds harsh. It's just a fact. The approach that Mordechai is saying, we have something to fix. But if you don't grasp an opportunity, it's guaranteed Purim will happen. It's in history. It's going to happen. Moshe Rabbeinu knew about Purim. It's happening. Do you want to fix it? Do you want to stay on the side? Esther's response to Mordechai is, I can't do it alone. Leich Knesset Kol Yehudim, straight up and bring all of Am Yisrael together. Why? Because Mordechai, I hear you, I'll do it. You need to hear me too. The Nes doesn't come from one person, it comes from Am Yisrael. Again, Parshas Yisro. Beginning of Parshas Yisro, Pasuk Aleph, it says, V'yish Ma Yisro Choy Medion, it's Kol Asher, so like Moshe Yisrael, to Moshe and Yisrael. And what do we see in Pasuk Ches? Moshe Rabbeinu responds, everything Hashem did, that Oydeh Yisrael. Why can't they say Le Yisrael? Why are Oydei Yisrael? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu respond different to the way it was approached by Yisrael? Yisrael came from Midian. Midian was a home who eventually to Bilam. It was really there. Bilam and the people. Yisrael understood the philosophy. There's the leader and there's the people. Moshe Rabbeinu understood Oydei Yisrael. He says, you've got the wrong philosophy, Yisrael. You're coming because you're impressed by what you heard Hashem did. You think there's a leader, the Moshe of the Yisrael. I see Al-Oedis Yisrael. There's no leader in a person. There's a Le Yisrael. There's an Achdus which is necessary. I mentioned this last time. I want us to just highlight something really deep over here. That again, Esther was in terrible pain. The Gemara goes on 2-3 times in the Gemara about how she cries over the fact she won't be able to be with Mordechai. The whole Gemara about how she would go every night to spend time with Mordechai, how she would speak to Chazal. She's getting it again. It only highlights how harsh she was being with her. You think it doesn't hurt him? Don't call her a bas, call her a bias. She grew up with a daughter, he ended up marrying her. The connection these two had, she was said, you want me to give this up? I'm giving it up. She said, if I die, I die. But the kesher she would have with Mordechai would come with a limit that we would never ever be husband and wife again. She's willing to give up, but I need Am Yisrael. It wasn't she wasn't willing. She questioned if she was good enough, if she could. Countless times Esther goes on that journey when she questions HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did I see the wrong thing? Am I doing the right? Because again, you are representing, and it was Mordechai who gave the chizik, that tough attitude. I mentioned last year the Kemitza. I remember the Kemitza, the Koyach, on the way Tosfos mentions the Kemitza later, not before. But Haman's words were very simple. He got very upset. He says that when he came to put Mordechai to the horse, he says, Kemitza, of your fistful of flour, yeah, I with all the money I bought to destroy and kill you. And what was the Kemitza that scared Haman that he heard Mordechai speak? Haman's whole attitude to Achashverosh was, they are Amaphuzah, they are spread out, we can destroy them. The party was, because some listened and some didn't, some went and some didn't. I'm so fractured. What kind of leadership is that? Some do keep the missus, some don't. Some go to the party, some don't. Some listen to Chazal, some don't. We've got them, they're finished, he tells Achashverosh. There's no way of them coming back. Some are greater spiritually and some are less. Comes along a Kemitza and it shows a person like Haman, the poor man. He was talking about the Oyma at the time, and the Kud of the Kemitza is anyone can go and bring flour and anyone can go and bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take that carbon from them. It's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara talks about how Tosfos brings in, you've got yourself, even the case, Rick Revi, I think, we talk about a within the Torah itself, the spice that's tang wasn't such a fine fragrance, but yet Hashem accepts that too. Hashem accepts every member of Am Yisrael, and yet this Kemitza pushes off Haman's taipan. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made machzis ha-shekel before that to fight against what Haman was bringing. Of a Haman's entire shockwave is a Kemitza, something so simple, so basic, can come along and outweigh all the money that I bring. There's no way you can destroy Am Yisrael. You take a very careful look at today's generation. I call it, there's something called doom scrolling. They scroll. I look at all the young people that we're dealing with, and it breaks my heart to say it, but I don't know what to go into. We won't have time today because I am keeping a time limitation. I like to be Yekish when I come to the shul. It's nice to see this in Yekish, you know. But we look carefully at this generation, and I always say when I come with a job that I do, and it scares me. Today, I speak to young men who they're scrolling all the time on whatever social media platform they are. It can even be a WhatsApp status. You'd be shocked how people I see it. And they're like, look what Yenna's done. Look what this is. Look at the news. It's the age that's destroying young people today, where they look at all the news, they're overwhelmed. They look at what's going on around the world, and they feel, I have nothing to contribute. Look at other people. They're so much more established than me. I am a nothing. Look at this one and that one. Stop. You've made yourself small in your eyes. In the Kudot Purim, you're not small. You're not a nothing. This is Mordechai's approach to Esther. This is what Am Yisrael could have gone complete loop-sided. You're not a nothing. What did Achashverosh do? Come to my party, you little Jews. Come, come, come. The anniversary of when the Beis HaMikdash, I assume. Come. He made the party assuming that they wouldn't be redeemed. There'll be no Beis HaMikdash. Come to the party. Bunch of nebuchs, they walk in. What, to please Achashverosh? Mordechai's entire approach is, how dare you? We are Am Yisrael. We're not something to be stepped onto. Even Esther had to get woken up in Mordechai Tzadik. Wake up, Chab Yuchashivas. Know who you are, know where you come from. Esther's right, I can't do it alone, I need Am Yisrael. Fine, but you are not a nothing. You come from something so powerful. Hashem is not hiding. He's by your side the entire way through. You just need to see it to remind you, Zorachayim HaKadosh says, of your own personal greatness. And then you can grab it. And this is the tick in today's generation of our children. We need to remind them. So many people sitting here today, I know the camera can't see it, but we see it, came from parents. I mean, it's grandparents. I'm just a little bit younger. Okay? Grandparents, parents who survived the war. Those who came out and managed to chap and be strong and fire will never understand it. We'll never understand it. Besides of being put through fire like steel, they came out stronger. Then you, I now have to rebuild. I have the koyach to rebuild. I have something in me. Those who can manage it. Today's generation, as I said, the scroll. Who am I? What am I? So look up the scroll of the story of Purim. Sorry, I couldn't have myself tongue in cheek. And be reminded of your true godless. Thank you.
Mordechai tell them not to go to the city.
Yeah.
So why would you not? Yeah.